friends call stating that as our friend here, we opened their cuffs close to their house, we called out that one third time, but this show is always the same, the lost and proud sheep of the house of Israel. He chose to see that this is race, you who to hear Christ call greetings. This is because Logan doesn't feel like doing a Bible study tonight or a Book of Enoch study tonight. I guess he has things to do, and he's not at his computer. So this is just going to be a pre-movement turd for a little while. And what happens, we'll just simply kick back into it. You know, the pisser possum has been in already, and he sticked his pedal packy pisser possums on us here, and the show will doubtless be gone. Tomorrow, they'll probably snitch me out tonight, but I don't care. I don't really care. Anyway, we have Logan on the phone.
Okay, all right.
We'll go ahead and say, how's he doing here?
So basically, you're saying the pedal packies are already in the chat room.
Oh, that, you know, Don Hunt here is.
Yeah.
What happens is then you have the pisser possum as guest number 10. He says,
yeah.
Okay, we stitched him out already. He'll be gone by tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the hell the pisser possum's problem is. I mean, the crazy mongrel goes.
Well, here's the thing. You and I don't know about Russ Walker, what if he still goes to Eli James or Vista or any other shows. But you and I don't have time to listen to these people. I don't troll them. I don't try to get them kicked off. I don't care what they do, okay? So for them to attack your show or my show shows that we must be putting some truth out, or they wouldn't have to attack us, because, I mean, you know, I don't really care what they did, actually.
Well, nobody really does. I mean, they're just witless mongrels, that's all. I mean, witless mongrels, the Spartan Morangians, and the rest here, they're not really important, at all. So,
supposedly, Vince is going to take over Wickstrom's ministry or combine it or whatever. I wasn't too impressed with, either one. But, and then as far as Bob Jones taking over, Bob Jones told me a long time ago he didn't want to be a real full-time preacher and all that. He didn't really. So he's just taking over Michael Hallamore's organization, because there's nobody else to do it. There's nobody else that wants to take over Michael Hallamore. And as far as I'm concerned, Michael Hallamore, he stole Swift's material and just rebranded his own, so I mean, I don't see anything original about that.
There's nothing new at all. What happens if you really want to have something that is really far more than what Michael Hallamore stumbled into, I just went ahead and dug up Worldwide Church of God, Ambassador College lesson in about what? Oh,
a Bible course.
Bible course here. Yeah, I mean it's just a lot
more in depth, but a lot more historical facts. Even Don Campbell. I used to do a radio show with Don Campbell before he died, about a year and a half, 2 years, and. He didn't like Wickstrom. He told me he was cussing Wickstrom, Buddy Johnson, all these people on air. And then later on, right before he died, he patched things up with Wickstrom. But he told Judy Nips he was going to stand up to Wickstrom and all this other shit. And then he wanted more, more friends and fame in the white nationalist movement. So he caved into Wickstrom and got ordained. And he didn't live much long after that. But at least, I mean, Don Campbell expanded Swift's Bible study, and he added a lot. I mean, he did a lot of work to it, and he was a lot cheaper. It was, I don't know, like 30 or 40 bucks for a lot better course.
We probably may even have Johnny Tonto Britton here, the critter, who, I don't know if he gave in.
Has John Britton, is he still talking trash about you or something?
Oh, he is in the chat room. I think it's Tonto who came in,
So you're pretty close to him. Don?
It might be, or might be. I mean, really, really, you've seen one mongrel. You've seen one mongrel or some party trash, a thousand ones, and you've seen them all, though. You know what I mean? They act the same way. You know what I mean? They're nothing new. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you what. I never had a problem with Newman. And, I don't know. It seemed like John doesn't want to get... seemed like he'll be some people's friend for a while, and then he wants to beat everybody's ass. So, you know, it's hard to, me and Gary tried to have a Bible study with him, and then he didn't want to have a Bible study with Buck McHugh, but, you know, he was talking about beating Buck McHugh's ass and beating Russ Walker's ass and your ass, and then he got mad at me, and I just don't understand that, man. You know? If him and Bud McHugh should be mad at anybody, it should be Brian Rio, and now they want to be buddies with him. So I really do not understand that.
Well, it came down to it. Him and Bach were, you know, they used me to go ahead and get back at Brian Rio, you know what I mean? And, you know, you know, I knew Brian Rio was a mongrel because Rockford told me as much here.
All you got to do is look at the man. All you got to do is look at the picture of Brian Rio. You don't need a DNA test. I mean, you can look at him and tell he looks more mongrel than Cliff Niemeyerhauser, man. Cliff Niemeyerhauser and Russ Walker and all these people, a bunch of them are Italian Guidos, man. You know. Hey, it was John Britton that first squealed on Russ Walker and said that his mom was 100% Sicilian. And I even told Russ, I said, I even told Russ on the phone, you know, way before he started shooting his mouth off to other people about his genealogy and DNA and everything. I told Russ on the phone that I really didn't think the Sicilians, all the ones, as far as I knew, were all mongrelized, and if there was any pure whites at all, it was northern Italy. And now Russ is wanting to say that me, you, and John Britton are dumbasses, and we don't know history, and we don't know the migration of the white race. But Russ, actually, he just shot his mouth off to too many people, to Athena and a bunch of other people. And if you're going, it's like Rebecca. If you're going to take a DNA test, and then you don't like the results, okay, do not shoot your mouth off to other identity people, because if you admit that you are, you know, I mean, Rebecca admits she's like 4 or 5%, you know, Negro, and then Russ supposedly told like two different people in identity, because they said they might be 1% Asian, and he said, well, you know, he said that he was, came back 10% Negro, but he didn't put any stock in the DNA test, but... You know, I don't just need a DNA test from Russ. His mom was 50% Sicilian, and there's some other things about Russ, and his family's all gay, and his brother was a real liberal Juilliard professor, New York City professor. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that raised questions with me about Russ, but, you know, it's like, you put up with Russ, you put up Rebecca, you know, she wants to brag about being a whore, and doesn't say she don't have to repent. And then Russ wants to keep on shooting his mouth off, playing games. You know, you entrust him with certain incompetence, and he turns on you multiple times. And you just get tired of Russ's bullshit. So I guess the best thing about Russ being mad at me is I'm no longer on the retard list.
Well, we sent an email about me. You know, about how, you know, we've finally gotten 5,700 views. You know what I mean? Well, I get that many views. I get that very many views or more per week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Per week. You know?
Yeah.
Here's what I can eat. You know, 5,000 over, what, 2.5 years? Well, okay, you may get 20 visitors per day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Next, you know, you go on to Russell's retard list. You know what I mean? No, I mean, I can just see that Russell... knowing he's half Sicilian, so he just has to go ahead and get DNA test, though. The goofy bastard gets it done. And then you got to go ahead and tell his fellow mongrels, hey, look, don't worry about me. I'm 10% nigger. Don't tell Shane or don't tell Logan. Don't
Don't tell Martin, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Martin's
yeah.
going to protect
and,
his
And they never thought, I mean, this has been like a year ago, a year and a half ago, when they told these two people, and he never thought that they would eventually tell somebody like me or you.
Well, look, if you're going to shit your mouth off, people eventually talk.
So, him and Rebecca, they never should have, you know, they're trying to play identity, they're trying to play CI dentistry, and they just should have shut their mouth up, because, I mean, to me, they don't have any more credibility. And they're troublemakers, so, you know, I don't have any use for them anymore. And, but I told Russ a long time ago, I don't even want any more of those stupid emails. I kept on getting them anyway, so I guess the only good thing that came about it was, you know, Russ don't want to be friends anymore. I'm off the retard list. So, you know, I mean, look, the thing is, I'm not trying to start anything with Russ, but the whole point is I told the truth about Rebecca. I told the truth about Russ, so they either lied to me and lied to the other person or lying now, and I don't think they lied. I think, you know, they took this DNA test, and I think now they're wanting to deny it, so
well,
I really don't care.
Yeah, I mean, they have bothered him. They have bothered him, so he wanted a test here. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not really in the market for a DNA test because, hey, the margin of error is, you know, around 10% anyway, as it is. It's not real science. This run the Jews. You know, there's most Jews who run it.
Look, both my parents got married, like, in the 50s. They were still doing blood tests in the South. There were, like, 30 states, the South and the Midwest. So I wasn't born up north. I wasn't born in California like, you know, some of these melanges pretend to be identity. I was born in the deep South. And both my parents on both sides were farmers in Middle Tennessee. My parents were the first two that ever went to college. I mean, both sides of my family were farmers, and they both got a blood test when they got married. Like, they don't do the blood test anymore, because when I got married, first of all, when I got married, my ex-wife looks a lot whiter than Russ. She looks a lot whiter than most people in identity, and she could blush. And here's the thing. Paul Burnham said, she looked white. He said her parents looked white. And then after I got married, called for office, like, you need your blood test. Well, I called around. They don't do blood tests anymore. They do DNA tests. Well, the DNA came back good for me, but not for her. And then, you know, Paul Burnham, later on, he looked at her grandmother, and I looked at her grandmother, and he said, well, I think her grandmother's a Mormon. You know, she might be Asiatic Jew or something. I don't know. Well, you know, all these people on identity told me that she was pure white before I got married. They should have figured this shit out, you know, if they're experts. So the thing is, if you're going to go back to blood tests, you need to get an electron microscope and start testing everybody's blood, but they don't want to do that. Most people know that. Clifton Emeiser said, I'm not getting a DNA test. You know, Russ Walker's real defensive. He don't want to admit he's got one. He says he's not going to get one. Well, I don't know if they should have got something to hide or not, but the whole thing is, most people are not going to be serious when it comes to
Knowing Russ, I can just say, he runs his mouth to his mother, no, to Athena.
Yeah.
Because they had left the cat out of the bag around December 2013.
Yeah.
And, you know, Roxy got a broken leg, and I don't have time for this stupid shit. Here's Johnny Tonto Britton, he's shitting all over Russ. You know what I mean?
Russ is such a retard. John Brennan and Russ used to be friends. I'm assuming that Russ pissed John off one too many times. I mean, what John told me is that he said that, and Russ did this something to me too. But John told me, he said, man, everything I would tell Russ in confidence, the first chance he got, he'd go spill the beans. And he said, you know, tell. Telephone, telegraph, or tell Russ Walker, and you know. So evidently, you know, they were friends for a while, and then John Brent got mad. And he thought he was going to get back at Russ, and he was going to expose him being a Sicilian. You know.
Mm-hmm. No, one is that Tonto never was really loyal at all. You know what I mean? He just don't have any loyalty in him. He doesn't matter, you know, he's just like an Indian. You know, no matter how much you do for him, it's never enough. It's never enough. Mark Twain said the same thing about Indians.
Most white nationalists and most identity people, whether they're Anglo Mestizo or white trash or whatever, most so-called white people do not have any loyalty. I mean, first of all, if they don't respect Yahweh and his laws, you know, then they're going to be prone to basically being selfish and serving their own interests and following the money. So they can be bought out.
Yeah, I'm trying to say Tonto Britton was just delusional. I mean, shit.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. John Britton, will never be the person Newman Britton was. You will never hear me say anything bad about Newman. But to me, Newman was the best Britton of that whole family. And maybe Ruby and Newman, but Newman actually cared about a lot of people, and he seemed to really care about Yahweh, the two seed line, and I would say Newman doesn't approve of a lot of stuff John's done. So,
while he was alive, Newman really wouldn't have that much to do with his Uncle Newman. You know what I mean? I tried to leave Chris my daddy. I tried to leave. Don't look dumbass. You have a common name. Britain is not all that uncommon. You could have said, hey, you know, anyway, listen to Newman Britain now. Because that's exactly
I know some Britons in Nashville. Matter of fact, I was pretty good friends when they moved off, but I still know one of them's niece. I knew this lady. I believe it's Sylvia Britton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think that... Well, I told John he didn't know him. But, you know, I mean, if you go back far enough, they might be somewhat related. But, you know, the thing is that... it's not real uncommon. Now, Visser's pretty uncommon unless you go to Dutch. And supposedly Visser is similar to the name of Fisher, isn't it? Fisher,
mm-hmm.
Visser?
Mr. Dutch supported you
then. Well,
we're here
to talk to Mr. Dutch
supported you.
I mean, I think it's laughable they accuse me of having slaves. Nobody in my family on either side ever had slaves. But the thing is, Visser is Dutch, and all the slave ships, even Louis Farrakhan will tell you this, all the slave ships from Europe were owned by the Dutch. Dutch Jews. All of them. So, I mean, it's not too smart to make up a lie about somebody, and then your ancestry and your heritage is suspect and easily proven. And, I mean, sometimes it better keep your mouth shut. You know, it really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens is that I was hurt, and I went ahead and looked up it was a 1999 article in one of the Los Angeles papers. So basically, Newman admitted that his daddy was essentially a poor farmer from northeast Oklahoma.
Well, you say that, I never talked to Newman about his genealogy, and so me and Gary would not know all that, because when we were around them, we just talked about the Bible. We didn't talk about his family. As a matter of fact, I never heard, when I talked to Newman, I talked to Ruby, and I talked to that Susan. I think that's Newman's daughter. She was living with him at the time. Talked to her on the phone, because she was supposed to date one of Buddy Johnson's nephews, but she backed out. She didn't want to meet him. But now Ruby, even after Newman died, Ruby used to keep the feast days with Buddy and Thelma in East Tennessee. So, you know, the thing is that Newman and Ruby would travel and be around other people besides their family. But me and Gary didn't know anything about the other Britons. I mean, I don't think Gary even talked. He never talked to anybody but Newman. I talked to Susan on the phone. The thing is, I never even heard of Rufus or Britton or James Britton or even John Britton until I met you and Russ, and then eventually Dewey Tucker brought up this Rufus Britton. So Dewey Tucker knew more than I knew, because I just knew Newman, and I didn't go into the whole family, and I didn't know about Wesley Swift marrying into there. you know, I guess an Evans or whatever, somehow related to the Britton family, right? Evans?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Tonto was related to everybody. He's related to King Saul. He's related to Tonto. He's related to Solomon. He's related to Joe. He's related to Solomon.
I said something to John about that. I said, well, Martin says this, and he said, well, Martin got it wrong. He told me that he was tribe of Benjamin. He didn't say nothing about no King Saul to me, so I don't know.
Towards the end. So, when we got to where, to me, didn't really matter. I mean, how the hell, I'm unusual in that I know one great-great-grandparent, you know what I mean? I know the name of one great-great-grandparent, you know, Corporal Walter Schmidt, who died September 1st, 1870, at Sedan, fighting against the French. So, thanks to my grandmother, I knew all her side of the family, you know what I mean? And then I knew the rest a little bit more, and you know, but the thing about it is that, hey, people in these rural communities in South Dakota, they knew what people were like. They knew where these people came from, you know what I mean?
And they didn't like Indians. Nobody in South Dakota liked Indians.
No, not even the Indians in some cases. nobody, none of settlers like, you know, red Indians, no, because they were dangerous.
And, you know, look, everybody in identity, Wesley Swift started it. He didn't teach just the Cherokees and Choctaw and Chickasaws and the five southern tribes were white. Wesley Swift taught that all the Indian tribes had some pure whites in them. But Jim Wickstrom and Bob Jones both taught that. They taught the Cherokees.
Yeah, you end up having... This Ashkenazi Melange and Dan Johns, you know, serial unsuccessful. You know, I mean, Johnny Johnson Britton here, I told him as a church, y'all stick with the Mormon Church because what you are is you're a successful serial polygamist. Lamanite polygamist. He used to yap about how much pussy he got when he was 17 at the high school. You know what I mean? He was just knocking it off all he could here, including his wife Linda. Well, okay, but you know what you did is you're messing with the aunt of Tony the Pony, the husband of Morphland, the daughter number two. You know, and she became a lesbian, and then you had this another one who's Cody's mom and her dad.
Hold on, you talking about Dan Johns or John Britton? Who are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about John Britton here. Supposedly, when he had, you know, he was running around humping at least three girls when he was 17.
I talked to John about that. He denied all that. He said he married his wife when he was 17. He's only been married once.
He did.
He says he only has five kids, five daughters, no sons. He denied all that. I talked to him about that.
He chimped out. I went ahead and asked this guy who lives 45 miles. He lives an Indian. I'm the proud Indian. Essentially, he went ahead and told me. He went ahead and called in and says, hey, you know, John Britton told me he has three sons. This is February, 14th, 15th. He went ahead and called. He has three sons. He has six daughters. I said, give me five. No, I mean six. Okay. So, essentially, that's another woman at least. So, what happens, he has a son in New Hampshire,
Hey. Even if this guy says all this, he don't have proof. I mean, I know you and John Britton don't like each other, and y'all just,
the thing is, he had a shit fit. He had a shit fit when he went ahead and heard this Indian who knew him call in. That's why he called the 17th of February. He was just having a shit fit. He was having a shit fit because he ended up hearing what, you know, essentially this guy call in. You know what I mean? This shit fit.
Yeah.
And so here he is. He's just... he just mad at him.
John Britton does have a temper, and he's talked about everybody's ass.
He doesn't want to control his temper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wants to use his temper to know, I quote scare people. Well, look, you're not allowed to carry weapons outside your house here. You know what I mean? And
me and Gary tried to talk to him, and because he was talking about kicking people's ass, and we said, look, John, just calm down. And of course, me and Gary don't drink. Me and Gary don't drink alcohol. And John likes to drink, go to bars and stuff. And we were trying to tell him that, you know, just stay out of trouble.
Go to bars and fight is what he likes to do. He's just like a damn drunken Indian. They turned me. Them damn Indians turned me when they got liquor. That's why it's up to them. You know, used to be is that you don't give guns or liquor to damn Indians. You know what I mean? Just because it turns them ill. I mean, they just don't know how to handle it. You know what I mean? And that's why I think is, you know, Tonto's problem here. You know what I mean? And so,
well,
anyways.
I'll tell you what. Newman, he was in the Marines. He was a tough guy, but he was a really nice guy. He was a hard worker.
Oh, yeah.
Construction.
You
would never see Newman do anything like what John does. I mean, they're just
The Indian might come in with John Britton's mother, you know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, hey, I mean, you know, it turns out that all this bullshit he told me here, all this bullshit he told me was just bullshit. You know what I mean? About, you know, being sent from, you know, from Kingsong through Jonathan, related to Charlemagne, and all this other crazy horseshit. You know what I mean? All this crazy horseshit.
The thing is, I've got some royalty, if you go back far enough, from Wales, a Welsh prince, which was related to King David. Okay, I don't make a big deal about that. I don't make a big deal about any of that. I mean, the thing is, I've got a lot of tribe of Judah in me. I've got Irish, I got a little German, but I've got some English and some Welsh and Scottish in me. So I don't know if I'm 100% tribe of Judah, and I would not say that I really am. I just say I'm a son of Yahweh and a pure Israelite. But the thing is, a lot of people talk a lot of shit, but if they don't have the proof, like if they want to say they're 100% this tribe or that tribe, and you know that they're just, it's wishful thinking, or they're not proven.
Well, so it's delusional. It's just delusional crap. You know what I mean? You know, look. You know, if you don't have any ability on your own to do something here, don't go ahead and yap about, you know, how your parents or grandparents or whatever were, great men. See, my great grandfather, you know, his name was Gustavus Adolphus Lindstedt. Anyway, add short to Gustav Adolf. Well, was he related to Gustavus Adolphus II? You know, the great king of Sweden who, died at the Battle of the 30 Years' War? And the answer is probably not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably not, even though he had a name like, he was named after Gustavus Adolphus. Well, hey, you know, there were a lot of young babies born between 1933 and 1944 here, named Adolf here, but they're not all related to Hitler, now are they? Except tentatively here, you know what I mean? So, where do you get all this sort of stupid shit? And the problem I had is that it was Tonto went ahead and created me. I mean, you know, he went ahead and told me, you know, this hybrid nigger, you know, judge named Boyle said that they intended to screw him all along. But because I went ahead and caused all this trouble on the Mumitard, they decided that they better go ahead and give him something. So he got $110,000 more. And what happens is I was realizing he was already blaming me. What Brian Real did. The problem is that Brian Real was not successful. I told him, you know, yeah, Sweaty Eddie Lodge is a piece of shit, but what happened, Sweaty Eddie obeyed the law. he said the case, you know, the case will go to trial. And you were the one who went ahead and decided to sell for $50,000, and then you let Cousin Ray, the lawyer, chicken shit, Guido, Endless Chasing Mariani, you know, Ray Mariani, go ahead and...
Well, he told me about the helicopter case, the lawsuit. He thought his lawyer could have got more money, and he thought his lawyer got a kickback from the rule. He thought his lawyer screwed him, that his lawyer took
his lawyer
some of the money.
His lawyer did screw him. His lawyer was only supposed to get one third. He was supposed to get two thirds. Well, the lawyer got two thirds, he only got one third. I said, hey, look, we'll come back here and try to get another $110,000. But he went ahead and ran through that money. And I bet his wife, Lorinda, does know about the other woman. You know what I mean? And whatever, he had probably paid back child support. You know what I mean?
He denied that. He told me he's only been married one
he said a lot of shit here. I mean, I used to look at him. I'll tell you what.
Now, with him, I'm just saying what he told me, but with Russ, we know Russ has been married twice, okay? And we know his first wife, you know, he should have stayed with her. Maybe his kids would have turned out gay. But we know Russ was bragging to me. So this is what pissed me off about Russ. Okay. A bunch of times, I told Russ stuff in confidence. He promised he wouldn't tell. The first thing he does, he goes and tells everybody. And the last time he did, I said, Russ, I said, remember that one thing you told me never to tell anybody? I said, not to tell your wife. I said, you know, about your girlfriend you used to hang out with all the time in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I said, man, you know, I said, if I was an asshole like you, Russ, I would go snitch you out. I said, but other than that, I just won't have anything to do with you. So it was about time for me, you know, even though Russ is mad at me about the DNA test, and even though I told him about it, the thing is, I'm glad I'm done with Russ, because Russ, you know, basically, maybe Russ will wake up one day and stop being such a snitch, and, you know,
Russ will wake up at the end of 75,
You're talking about John Britton not being loyal. Well, Russ is really not really loyal as far as respecting other people's privacy and secrecy. And if you tell Russ something in confidence,
I never told him anything in confidence. You know what I mean?
Russ is not a man of his word. He's promised me a lot of stuff and then lied and broke his word. So I just don't respect that. And you're going to find, Martin, whether they're Wiggers, Anglo-Mestizos, you know, some of them might be Jews, whatever, Zogbots, whatever they are, you're not going to find a lot of loyal people, even in white nationalism, even in identity.
Definitely in not white nationalism, and definitely not in CI dentistry.
Yeah.
Definitely not. I mean, it's like all these retards here, they've been reading a book from the Southern Poverty Law Center telling them what a CI dentist is supposed to be like, and then they go ahead and they follow it. They have no idea, you know, they have no idea what the hell they're doing. That's what I've seen in CI dentistry. All these people, you know, denied. See, Jews, you know, like Dale Fink, Eli James, they can't admit that they're born evil. They're Romans chapter 9 about how, you know, there's vessels of mercy and there's vessels of wrath. You know what I mean? And these Jews just can't stand to realize and say, hey, you know, I'm born evil, and that is my fate here. I don't have any change in it. You know, unlike old brother non-Aryan saying is that shit, yeah, I may be a manser now, but after 666 resurrections, you know, someday go ahead and become a white man here. You know, maybe even...
Well, you know what Rebecca told me?
No,
sir. You know, she was pretty sure that the DNA test was right. She was like 4 or 5% Negro. You know what she said? She said, well, maybe Yahweh will change his mind and maybe he'll just zap me and make me 100% white one day. You know, listen, I even heard Bob Jones say this on the radio one time. Bob Jones told me one time, might have been on the radio, might have just been a conversation with me and Bob Jones. Bob Jones told me one time that, you know, Bob Jones really didn't hate all the Mongols, and that he thought that all the Mongols, especially like the Spaniards that went into Mexico and mated with all the Indians, and that's where the Latinos come from. He said that Yahweh might come and change his mind and make them pure white. That's what Bob Jones said. Now, who is Bob Jones to play Yahweh? Who is he to play God? I mean, that's totally contrary to Yahweh said the unforgivable sin. Don't ask that he's going to change it. Well, a lot of people think, oh, for sin is race mixing. First of all, kind gets kind after its own kind. And Yahweh told you not to mix the seeds and the creation, the genetics. So, do you really think that, you know, certain people are going to be special like Rebecca and you're always going to make an exception for her? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm looking at the Worldwide Church of God Correspondence Course. This was essentially pure, 100% pure British Israelitism. You can go ahead and get it for free. You don't have to pay Mike Hallamore $300 for it. You know, his second rate horseshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Hallamore's, you know, sick, or Rick the Dick. Well, he's going to take over for Hallamore. Well, Rick the Dick is dead, and the Pinch Apostle is trying to take over for Hallamore. For Rick the Dick. You're letting a shovel toothed, hook nose, shit skinned, supporting marriage and Pinch Apostle.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take over what was,
Here's the thing. I've noticed this, okay? I mean, Bob Jones bragged about being a Freemason. I said, well, it's evil. It's a serpent seed organization. He said, well, no, it's not. I'm a Freemason. Me and Bob Jones got along great until I started bashing the Freemasons, and he admitted he was a Freemason. All right,
How can you be a Freemason and into Christianity, or
you can't serve two masters,
so who are you serving? You're serving yourself. So why should anybody, Biker Bob, he was into the space all this shit. I like Biker Bob, but, he showed me where Albert Pike said, essentially, just like the Jews do. See, the Jews know that essentially the high-level Jews know that they are Satan's kids. They know that they're Satan's kids. So they go ahead and they chant around in their Talmud that essentially poor Lucifer was badly treated. He's badly treated, we're sort of there, he's sort of his children. And essentially the damn Freemasons do the same thing. They admit that they're when they get to a high level, here's the big secret. Level 33 and above. We serve Satan. We're gonna go ahead and take over Solomon's temple and restore Solomon's temple so that the Jews can go ahead and roll over the Goyim. Essentially, what happens, even the Whiggers here, Revelation 2:9, they're even more the child of hell than the biological Jews are. You know what I mean? They're twice the proselyte. They're adopted, willing children of Satan. So, here you are. You cannot be a Mason or a Freemason, quote, Freemason. I don't know how you're free if you're essentially you're serving Satan.
I will say this. You get some wiggers, and they join it for business connections and everything, and they're really lukewarm Christians at best because, once you go in, listen, you do get some wiggers that are first, second, or third degree Masons, and as long if they don't make it past the third degree, they really don't realize how evil it is. They know they're powerful, and they know it's a way to get ahead in business to make, successful. But now, once you make it past the third degree, just the password to go to the fourth degree is Tubal Cain. So if you know anything about the Bible at all, you start to realize something's fishy here. And then when you get to the 17th or 19th degree, they admit they openly worship Lucifer, that he's a fallen angel, he's a devil, and he's got a bad rap from Yahweh, and that, yeah, he did sleep with Eve, and he did make Cain, and they are the serpent's seed, but they're really not that bad, and Yahweh's going to change his mind, and they're not going to hell or nothing.
Well, your body won't go, your body will be burnt to a crisp in the lake of fire, but what's left of your soul is going to be sitting there in the lake of fire, essentially undergoing purification for eternity. You know what I mean?
What I'm saying is that the Freemasons never have been good. And they'll tell you that King Solomon was the first Freemason. Well, King Solomon got all of Israel to worship Baal. King Solomon had over 6,000 wives, and most of them were Jews and Lambsers and Negroes and Asians. King Solomon was the biggest race mixer, the biggest race trader of all in all of history. And he asked for knowledge on how to make money and everything, but he didn't ask for a pure heart and ask for common sense and wisdom.
Probably Bathsheba was suffering from polygamy big time, wasn't she? You know what I mean?
Old
Biker Bob, he used to say something about these here little figures who, join because they want business connections. He says that shit, even the high level Masons don't trust them. They'll go ahead and give them a little bit. They won't give them much.
For instance, Andrew Jackson, the president. I've read several biographies about him. I don't think he ever made it past the third degree. If he had not joined, he never would have probably been general, promoted to general. He never would have been able to run for governor of Florida. He was a senator and a House of Representatives representing the state of Tennessee in the U.S. In Washington, D.C., and he never would have been president. So, he knew he had to join, but everywhere I've read, he never made it past the third degree. And they probably thought, he's 100% Scottish. He had reddish blonde hair and blue eyes. And, he never weighed over 140 pounds. He's 6'1", but he was a hell of a fighter. But the thing is that he didn't like Indians because his dad was murdered by an Indian. So when he joined the military, he was told to, and he never really murdered any Indians. What happened is he took the military down there. He said, look, I've been told by the U.S. Army, the U.S. government to get y'all to move. If you resist, we will fight back. So he always gave the Indians a choice in the matter. He did not just go out slaughtering Indians.
He did slaughter a bunch of them, though. I mean, if
they fought back, though. They fought back. That was the thing. There was about 15 assassination attempts on his life, because even though he was a third-degree Freemason, he wasn't doing what the Rothschilds and the Jew bankers
He went ahead and destroyed. I mean, shoot. Still having them Indians here. They were, at the tail end of the Obongo administration, they were yapping stupid shit about putting this fat nigger wench here in the $20 bill here. You know what I mean? Old Hamilton was a Jew boy and a little lazy Rothschild here. He set up the first bank in the United States. Well, what happens is, neither banksters nor engines like Andrew Jackson on a $20 bill. In fact, they whine a little bit over, I haven't been to visit the casino Indians for a couple of years now here, when I first got out of jail, they used to go there every day and used to have $5 free play, and I'd play video poker and did pretty well last here, but I never made anything out of here. I'd just go ahead and get $5 free play and maybe cash a dollar or two left here on their free play. And then what I'd do is that I'd go ahead and usually, if it was between 4 and 5, it was happy hour, and I'd be chomping down on the, sucking up this draft wheat beer, Belgian wheat beer that they had, for 75 cents a draw. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey, I'm happy. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, because I wouldn't have to drive. You know what I mean? So no, I mean, but no, I mean, neither the Indians nor the banksters much care for Andrew Jackson at all, because he went ahead and destroyed the second bank of the United States. He said, hey. You know, he was not. He's a gobble monster for the month. He ripped out, and then what he would do is he would essentially he took the money out of Second Bank of the United States, and he would go ahead and charter all these state banks of say Mississippi and
yeah. I mean,
what was the federal bank?
He was for state banks, but not federal banks. And he was for the common man, the factory worker and the farmer. He wasn't for the Northeast bankers and the, you know, the 1% servitude. And the thing is that, you know, he was all for the white man. He wasn't for the Indians. He wasn't for the Negro slaves. He, you know, necessarily integrating. I mean, he was all for the white race, you know, segregation, and for the white race being separate people. And, you know, basically, the party he started, the Democratic Party, is not the same party we have today, because back then, all your Southerners, all your white male Southerners were Democrats a long time ago, and the blacks a long time ago voted Republican because Abraham Lincoln, and now it's almost reversed.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Democrats were the quote Democratic Republicans is what Thomas Jefferson called them. I mean, he did away with the Federalist Party.
Yeah.
But then you had the Whig Party, which they called the Whigger Party. Essentially, it was like the Republican Party. It believed in essentially high tariffs and
good Lord.
You give a tard an inch, the tard will take a mile here.
What are they doing?
Oh, you have tards in the chat room. They're running wild. Yeah. Let me see. Nope, wrong tard here. I don't know which tards are running wild here. So, anyway, I'm just going ahead and looking at here. Oh, well. Somebody is having fun here, you know. Yeah, what happens is that the tars run wild here. Run wild, run free. You are big tars who are chasing after me. Anyway, I was looking. You know, Brad Griffin got back on his blog after about a week, over a week's absence here. He's been fighting
the Butcher or Hunter Wallace,
Fade the Butcher. I used to call him.
So what's he doing now?
Well, he's back on his blog here, but he's chasing after Weave, Kuykenheimer. You know what I mean? You know, Weave, Jewboy, Kuykenheimer. You know what I mean? And, what happens is one of them was pretending to be a 15-year-old girl chasing after poor old Cut Hair Walrus. So anyway, old Cut Hair is, look, you're better off not having anything to do with Jews in the first place. You know, because you go ahead and you dick with the stupid Jews, they're just going to screw you. You know what I mean? Just sooner or later.
Brad Griffith thinks that they're good serpent seed, and that he thinks that if they pretend to be white nationalists, they're okay. And if they're all for the South rising again, so Hunter Wallace can have a little plantation, and all the Mexican blacks can go back to the plantation, then, you know, that ain't gonna happen. I mean,
there's one character called Il Ragno. Now, he's a Greek Italian mongrel living in New York City here. But he had a hilarious app post here, just to quiet here, saying, Faye Keck said to Griffin how he personally screwed the pooch with Charlottesville. He can't quite muster up the energy to frame someone else. Well, let me just go ahead. I mean, old Il Ragno does not like him at all. You know what I mean?
Whose daughter did Hunter Wallace marry? He married somebody in Gordon Baum,
of the League of Southern, you know, Council of Conservative Citizens. He went ahead, he was writing about how niggers were raping white women and all that.
Yeah.
So here comes this, young warrior who has nigger fans, who essentially likes to use dope, and essentially got a 45 caliber Glock, brand new 45 caliber Glock and 8 magazines. So he loads 8 bolts up here. So 11 magazines with 88 bolts in his residue. He said, why don't you go ahead and shoot some niggers who are actually with? But he said, well, they shoot back. So he goes to the church, entering the church, shooting them coons. Do, 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 do.
You're telling me the guy in South Carolina, Dylan Roof, that he had 88 bullets?
Oh, yeah. Well, he had 11 magazines. He had a whole bunch of extra magazines, you know what I mean? So he loaded them up with 8 bolts each here for 88 bolts. Now, man, I just...
Was it a 35 caliber? I thought it was a 9.
45 caliber. What happens is a 45 caliber, it'll fuck you up a lot more than a 32 caliber or 38.
Yeah. Look, right after that happened, me and John Britton were talking about that, and we were saying, if there was ever any good blacks, it was those that went to that church. I mean, if he was going to target somebody, how come he didn't go to the inner city? How come he didn't go to the ghetto and shoot down some gangbangers, man? That's what I'm saying.
Because he said they shoot back. He wouldn't get to shoot his main niggas.
So he's a chicken. So okay, so he's chicken shit.
Yeah, what he did is that he went and shot some 89, the oldest one was an 89-year-old she boon who probably never raped a white woman in their life, didn't even tend to. Now, her grandkid, her nigger grandson more likely does and would, but, not the she boon. So it was just stupid shit. Just stupid shit. And all you can say is, I wish you wouldn't do this shit here, but they did anyway. And what to say? But anyway, where was I here? Well, Il Ragno, he's some sort of Greek wop. He's some sort of Greek wop mongrel who lives in New York City here. Him and I used to get into it too. I called him Il Ragno. But anyway, I called old Brad Griffin. He used to call himself Fade the Butcher, and I called him Fade the Flank. I called Fade the Butcher mainly here. But this was back way back when here. So I'm looking at this thing over on. I'm going ahead and look over on the floor. And essentially, old Il Ragno got him pretty well pegged. He said, Fade can't quite get to grips about how he personally screwed the fruits. With Charlottesville, he can't quite muster up the energy to frame somebody else. So it came as a place here, and pretty well what's going to be understood is that Charlottesville was a high water mark of the alt-type. It really was. You know what I mean? Yeah. What happens is they got a whole bunch of wiggers to come in and, essentially show up. So essentially, the Charlottesville pig life, the state of Virginia, just fucking panicked and deliberately let the niggers and the Antifa run wild in order to have an excuse to shut them down.
That's right.
And what happened was it did. It was just simply a fucking riot. Now, I told people, I sort of thought it'd be, I thought it'd be something to stay away from because I thought, shit, you're going to have all these damn niggers with Nigger Lives Matter and they're going to be going ahead and
getting that. Russ Walker was supposed to go there and he said that the first thing he was going to ride with down the street from him, backed out. This guy is also a member of the League of the South in North Carolina, a friend of Russ's. And so Russ is supposed to go there. And then he told me that day or the day before it happened, and then right after it happened, and they had that, all that violence. I said, it's a good thing you didn't go, Russ. You might have got your ass beat or arrested or killed. That's what I told Russ. today they had a march. I think it was today or yesterday. Today they had a march in Georgia, Noonan, Georgia, neo-Nazi rally.
Yeah, I've been to Noonan. In fact, I lived there for about 3-4 weeks on books here.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, well, what's hilarious is that them Southern girls, at least back in 1978 here, they used to not call them niggers, although they might have done, they called them darkies. Them darkies are doing this, them darkies are doing that. Well, and yes, it's way, yeah. You know, they're niggers, they're always up to some shit here, you know what I mean? But, there was a whole bunch of, you know, really cute blonde, blue-eyed, you know, southern, you know, Georgia peaches here, you know, they were cute, you know what I mean? You know, I mean, they were, you know, they were cute, but then again, I mean, you know, they wouldn't screw you until after you married them here, and I was in a mood to get married, so I, you know, I applied to them here. In any case, they call them,
this is before you met Roxy.
This was 1978. This is where I met everything. This is where I got in the Army. This is where everything.
Oh, okay.
I mean, shit, I was, I was 20, you know, in 1978. So, in any case, this was after I, you know, graduated from Crowder College. And
Hold on. Now, what kind of, you were down there for 4 weeks selling books. Were you on a
I was actually down there 3 months selling books here. You know what I mean?
The Southwestern
books here. I only had bought a couple months ago for 50 cents a piece, exactly the self-same dictionary, but, you know, you only had is that student handbook's front. And really, they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
So you were selling encyclopedias?
No, I'm selling dictionaries. It was a young people's dictionary. Essentially, they have a student handbook. And actually, you know, if you went ahead and learned what they had in most student handbooks, you'd be able to go ahead and get a GED. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You were going door-to-door salesman, and that's a hard job. I tried that.
Oh, that's a hard job. Oh, yeah, it's a hard job here.
Even a long time ago, nobody wanted to buy it from a door-to-door salesman.
Really, if you count everything here, I probably lost $120 at it, you know what I mean? But, I managed to do it. So anyway, you know, I was at Newnan, and, you know, next door was Heard County, which is definitely a rural county, just filled with nigger woodcutters and poor whites, you know, and farmers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hell, I used to laugh here. I mean, really, Georgia, what happens is that Georgia, their reading level is at least 3 grades behind the Missouri reading level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but then again, I mean, shit, you know, they had integrated schools and you're trying to teach niggers and it was just simply a waste of time. So anyway, I bought some Southwest, you know, I was for the Southwest Company. This was back when Nashville was the southwestern portion of the United States here. So anyway, they had this thing at Newnan, and from what I gather, they just had NSM Targe and a few others. I mean, essentially it was a rally with about 2 dozen Targe, that's about it. 700 pigs, 200 Targe, you know, maybe about 500-600 Antifa or, you know, niggers or whatever here. I mean, just a typical dumbass rally, here. So, anyway. Given the preamps of Facebook and publicized and coordinated this event, you know, elitism, from the Hoary Boy, it was out of the populous guy, seemingly going out of the way at this key juncture, you know, to assure participation by same voting regiments who have, for years, scared off whites from their own cause. As it now admits, Charlottesville damaged and even derailed all the forward momentum being made by pro-Trump, anti-social justice warrior, and pro-Constitution Americans. But you must have known then how badly fucked up, because for a few days immediately following, Oxnell and Seth stayed immensely dark, whereas they can be found on Twitter to usually tweet out all Americans down on our side, how we now had the force of the darkness right where we wanted them. You could only shake your head. So essentially, he doesn't like Brad Griffin at all, you know what I mean? He just, you know, he's always shit on Brad Griffin, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Brad Griffith is a young, naive, immature kid. He's got a lot to learn, man. I mean, you try to teach him identity, and he don't want to accept it because he wants to love everybody. He wants to love the
kids. He's more than 84, I believe. Shit, he'd be, what, 34 now, right?
Well, that's kind of young. I mean, he acts like a young little kid. He acts like a little immature kid. I mean,
Says, in the interest of not rekindling old feuds, because they had big feuds, given the damage was already done, I've kept largely quiet about my take on the disaster, but we fucking criminal let this guy pop up back to the surface like a bully, ready to parse the problems of white America via his cut-paste, erudition, and self-absorbing analysis. Usually, Page just wears out his welcome among small groups of forum regulars and threatens to disappear off the internet forevermore to punish us. This time, he undisputably helped steer the ship of white America right into the race. He damaged Trump, his missus, and his voters immeasurably, and probably walked Bannon off the plank beside. All this tremendous forward momentum of the free speech rallies now painted in the lives of the very millions we need to win over, whom we were winning over, whom we just now lost at least momentarily. And this Carter is back showered in charge from the back of his blog again. Fade, go away, for real this time. Go and do your prescriptions from Morris and Heidi or Tetragram and John or whatever. Just get out of the fake country boy business. But don't resume your prior personality of Hunter Wallace, space elitist, because the last thing we need from you is Charlottesville organizer recommends mass sterilizations publicly. Just fucking go. So he doesn't like old Brad Griffin one bit here.
Okay. I say a lot of people did not tolerate him too well.
Well, there's a lot of people getting annoyed at him. Yeah, I don't get really annoyed at him. I kind of feel sorry for him
because I think he's kind of like an immature, naive little wigger. I would call him a baby Huey. I mean, I used to think Russ is a baby Huey, but now I think Russ has a 50% decision, so, you know.
Baby Guido. Russ is just, I call him Russ because he's a tart. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, I can just see Russ running around like a tard. What happens is he goes ahead and tells Athena, he's half Sicilian. He then goes ahead, of course his mother's Sicilian, but they're the only white Italians here, not the Lombards, Northern Italy, essentially, that's bullshit. Now, the Sicilians, you have the Normans come in, and they, essentially the upper class of, military conquerors, conquered Sicily. But essentially, by this time Sicily was just, mainly just nigger, just nigger Greek wop, I mean?
Yep.
Hey, 2,500 years ago, Athens was, Athens had what? The average opinion had, 125 IQ? I mean, essentially, he was quite smart. And, and they were white, beautiful people, just like the Persians 2,500 years ago. But now, you go look at Persians, you go ahead and look at Greece, Greeks are just a bunch of brown people. They look sort of like,
Same thing with Portugal.
Well, yeah. What happens is that, all the white men went out and married Indian women, and what happens, they brought in nigger slaves, and, so they don't have any pure-blood niggers in Portugal anymore, except for ones who just came off the boat recently. And so it's like now, the Portuguese are at least 10% nigger. They also like Russell. Mm-hmm. So in case, so he goes ahead and he does that. The dumbass takes a takes a DNA test from a Jew company, and he knows damn well that there's a big standard deviation. There's lots of room for error. He goes ahead, takes it here, and then he has no more fucking sense when he comes back. He's 10% nigger, but to go ahead and tell his own tards and his own niggers, his own masters. Hey, look, I'm one of you here. I'm 10% nigger. But don't tell Martin. Don't go ahead and tell Shane. Don't tell anybody here. And then guess what? This old man's just,
about a year and a half ago, they spilled the beans and they said, well, because see, the thing is, they were friendly with Russ. And then Russ was, the thing is, Russ doesn't know when to quit, okay?
He
spells the stickers to you, and then he betrays you one too many times, it pisses you off, And so that's what happened to these people, and they just went ahead and told me. Now, I'm not going to call his wife up and tell him about, you know, his infidelity. I said, Russ, how would you like if I did that, though? Because I'm just kind of dumb in Russ's shit. I'm not going to do that. I mean, the thing is, Russ has done enough damage to himself. He's just going to run his mouth, and he's going to get his own self in trouble. And, you know, people get tired of it. I mean, to be 75 years old, and it's supposedly an engineer, supposedly got a law degree, he has no common sense.
Not a damn bit. He's just simply runs through the retard. He's just an idiot. And his problem is that, you know, hey, he really, since you've been sitting on this for a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half. Well, no, this other person knew it about a year and a half ago, and they didn't tell me until recently.
Oh, okay.
But see, well, the thing is, they weren't going to tell me or anybody else.
Well, I remember Russ
kept on being an asshole to them and other people, and they got sick of Russ's shit, so they went ahead and told me.
Okay, you told me about 3 weeks or a month ago, you know, about Russ.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, you know, I probably wouldn't have mentioned it here, you know what I mean? But I guess you got annoyed at Russ first, so you went and told him. Now Russ
was
all kind
of that. The thing is, I'm off the retard list. That's the one good thing.
Well, I'm not off the retard list here. He's probably going to download this and be mad again. Mad some more. But, you know, let's say if you're listening here, you did bring this stupid shit on yourself here. You know what I mean? I mean, there is a penalty for acting like a retard, and occasionally what happens is that your own stupidity comes back and bites you on the ass, and, you know, chomps and grinds on your pecker, and then, hey, you know what I mean? Then you're left with a gnawed up 3-inch pecker here, and you have nobody to blame but yourself. You know what I mean?
Russ told me about 2 or 3 months ago when I got back on the radio and I was doing my show right before your show, and then Russ always wanted to be a guest. He always wanted to call and be a guest on my phone. He didn't want to use his own phone to call in. You got money
to take a DNA test. You got money to go ahead.
Yeah.
Travel, you know, he's a strange pussy, you know, and they had help for 30 years, well, hey, I mean, shoot, you know, you ought to be able to go ahead and spend $2.99 a month for Skype here, you know what I mean, and then they'll have you, and the thing is, he told me about two months ago.
He said, do you still want to do a radio show where Martin is on it? And I said, I don't have a problem with Martin. I said, Martin respects it when I do the red letters. He respects when I do the Bible. And he don't teach this bullshit about the tribe of Judah being on the side of Benjamin, being all Martin. Well, anyway, this is what Russ said. Russ said that you were a loser and you've never done anything with your life. I thought, you know what, Russ, what the hell have you done with your life, man? I mean, your kids turned out totally dysfunctional, gay. You know, you left your first wife to be with probably a woman that's not as good as your first one. From what I gather, his first wife was a better woman than the woman he's with now.
What happens, I went to Ramey's here. You know how far Ramey's is from,
the
house we live in. It's less than a block away, and I was walking back with my, some TV dinners and some, TV dinners and some pot pies for Roxy if she wants pot pies. So I come in there and, here's some red-haired young kid here. He said he was 18. And anyway, his mother threw him out of the house today. And I didn't really offer a place. I said, you have a place to sleep here? You know, are you able to go to the mission or something like that? He said, well, I'm not supposed to have a friend who's going to pick me up at Dick Smith's Park here. So I said, are you hungry? He said, yeah, I haven't had anything to eat today. So what happens is it brought me. I said, the house is pretty messy here. He said, well, my house is a disaster. And essentially, his bitch mom was taken away, him and his younger brother, his foster kid. Yeah, he says his younger brother was molested here right in front of his eyes. Yeah. So I hate hearing that shit because I worry about what happened to my grandkids. You know what I mean?
So you don't know this guy or his family, but you just met him today.
Well, he's just, you know, generally the younger generation here in Granby sort of likes me because essentially I just give the lying, thieving cards hell around here. So in any case,
the younger generation, they don't have a future, Martin. There's no job.
Well, he doesn't have much of a future. So what happens is his mother waited until he got $190 in food stamps, and she went ahead and stole the food stamps and stole his car and drained the card out of it, and essentially went ahead and kicked her out. From my guess, she's one of these opiate issues here, you know what I mean? You know, the religion, you know, religion was the opiate of the masses. Well, guess what? Pastor Wilson says that opiates are the opiates of them asses here in the Swamp.
Yeah, that's right.
So, in any case, you know, his opiates are the opiates of them asses. So, what happens? I said, well, you do know the house is, you know, my house is not, oh, you don't mind. So since I went ahead and gave him one of the TV dinners, and he said he was thirsty, so I said lemonade or root beer, and he drank a lemonade, and I left him the root beer, told him to take the can with him here, and, you know, me and Strand. So
if I see white people, and I think they're honest, you know, and they're not, if I think they're white, I try to help them out. I think all they are is whore or drug addict. They're trying to call me. They don't want food. They just want drugs. I don't give them money.
I mean, you don't really eat like you're starving. I didn't give me money. I mean, if you say you're starving,
I'll give anybody.
Got a microwave here. I mean, hey, you know, just go ahead and eat it. He ate the meatloaf. TV dinner I let him have, so hey, you know, then what was left, puppy dog got to lick out here, you know, puppy dog likes licking them, you know, likes licking the skillet, really likes licking the licking thing here, so, I mean, he had red hair, reminded me a little bit of my retarded grandson, but he wasn't really retarded, he had not normal intelligence for young kids, so, anyway, you know, he's simply opted. He's grown out here, and he's come back with a stupid dope, you know, according to him, dope-using mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's just simply treating him like crap here. So, hey, especially his friend's supposed to go.
Hey, man, that is all too common, man. Satan and his kids, they have got the white race and even the Anglo-Mestizo.
He looks like a pureblood Whigger here. What they've done,
Mark, it's all the white. It's not just the United States, Canada, Australia, Europe. They have destroyed the economy. They've destroyed the race. Not just with race mixing, but just, I mean, they've got them hooked on drugs.
He didn't look like he was hooked on drugs. He looked like he was normal.
Yeah,
his mom, according to him, I don't know, because why? I mean, you know, I just wanted to help him out here, the TV dinner was on sale for 98 cents, and the pop, all the time. I hate him telling about how he had perverts hitting on him, and his younger brother. I mean, I really hate that because then I'm worried about what the hell happened to my grandkids, you know what I mean? So, anyway, yeah. I hate hearing that, but on the other end, I have no idea how dogged, hopefully, at least they have enough sense here to, you know, when I go ahead and skin them out here and their damn, you know, families here for destroying my white family, hopefully they won't deserve all the skinning they're going to get here. He said he was hungry, so I went ahead and gave him something to eat, let him eat one of the TV dinners here. I bought three of them, they were on sale, so. Anyway, I gave him the one I wasn't that crazy about eating, he got something out of it. I really don't have a problem with Russell. It's just that, he's just such an idiot. You know what I mean?
I have tried to tell Russ since I have tried to teach him, he's wrong, listen to Scott Vaught and G-Nips, and you can destroy the argument, you can get my proof, and then you get you get to a point where you're beating your head against the wall, so just don't waste your time arguing with Russ. Just let him believe whatever
bullshit he wants. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I believe whatever you want, Russ, but, you know, no, I don't think, I mean, I call him because he's all mad because, shit, you know, the retard went ahead and he annoyed, he brought this shit on himself here, you know what I mean?
I agree.
Well, if you have reason to think you're 10% nigger, you know, and then you take the DNA test, comes back to 10% nigger, you're best off shutting the fuck up here. Not tell everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
We got out to you about 2-3 months ago, and then you told me about
a
month ago. And okay, well, I didn't bring it up here. You brought it up yesterday or last.
I didn't know Russ was going to listen to the next day because.
Oh, I knew Russ was going to listen.
Here's the thing. He gets tired of you making fun of him and he thinks you're a loser, but he'll come back and download your shows and listen to them. What's the point?
What is the point? I mean, I try not to do stupid shit here. I mean, life is too short to do stupid shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. To do stupid shit. If you're going to do stupid shit, then do stupid shit and have done with it.
You know what Russ told me a few months back when he joined League of the South that the identity people were dying out and he wanted to make new friends, so he was going to hang out with the Confederate flag people and the Rebel and the League of the South people, and that, you know, he really didn't want to try to be around identity people much anymore.
Okay,
well, go ahead, Russ. Go do what you want to do then.
Well, maybe you can go back to the Mormon Church and join Johnny Tonto, you know, Britain here. You know, I mean, I have no doubt that, you know, I mean, I heard rumors he had no son. He had no son from another woman, and he just had shit. Because this, this actual Indian who was fairly close to here, lived 40 miles away, went ahead and told me that. So he had, you know, he went ahead and confirmed about Cody and the other son. He said, yeah, but he has another son in New Hampshire by another woman. He has a sixth daughter. I said, no, he has five daughters. He said, no, he has six daughters. So that means there's another one.
I don't know who this Indian is. I don't know their name. I've never talked to him. So, I mean, personally.
Well, I know the Indian here. I mean,
Did this Indian call into your show one night and talk? Did he call into your show one night?
Oh yeah, he called a couple times, you know, over the years.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I have not listened to all your archives. I have never heard this guy, so I don't know anything about this.
Oh, he went ahead and called in. He was one of the quote gangsta Bolsheviks. You know what I mean? You know, and there's this 25% Jew boy who's a big pal of Brad Griffith here, and his name is Daryl Bassett. He's 25% Jew boy. But what happens is, I think he's a little bit faggy too. And what he did is that he was able to go ahead and find out these Zucca.com pictures of Brian Leo. I mean, if it had been up to me, I never would have gone ahead and found out, you know. I wouldn't have been looking at these homosexual, you know, web pages, you know what I mean?
So he's the one that outed Brian Leo.
No, he's the one that outed Brian Leo, but what happens, he confirmed, you know, he hadn't got three or four more pictures of Zucca.com of old nigger lips, you know what I mean? He's a Jew boy.
I always thought William Fink was the one that tried to expose everybody. William Fink used to have dirt on everybody. He used to have stuff on everybody.
Well, yeah, Al, the problem of it is, everybody got dirt on him, too. They know he's a murderous nigga, knows Jew boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that murder reporter into snake things here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and now he's got the Guido, Cliff Emeiser, live in the same house with him.
Him and another character here. I mean, essentially, I don't know. I think Fink is getting money, just like Billy Roper. I think they're both getting money.
Oh, yeah. All these people in CIA and all these people in white nationalism, they don't work. A lot of them have never worked. So where are they getting the money?
Yeah, well,
I mean, I was
Hey, Jimmy Nips told me that Wickstrom never worked a day in his life after 1978 when he quit his tool salesman business and joined Dan Gaiman's church. And so he's getting his money from what?
I had to drive a truck until 1996, and then what happens is I'd get, doing the chicken home thing here would make me $100 a day or so. Sometimes when you got a short drive run here, there's a week I made $150 a day from three trips down to Springdale or Rogers, Arkansas, where I loaded chickens and turkeys, and then, driving up to
the
Rogers, Arkansas.
A semi 18-wheeler. Was 18-wheeler?
It was a used Peterbilt. You know what I mean?
It was a hood.
It was a cabover.
But you drove an 18-wheeler all the time because some people drive like a box.
Well, I drove from 1988 till 1996, and then after 1996, I managed to, essentially get in. Jenny, that bitch Jenny was still alive, but I managed to go ahead and she was born in 1903, and so essentially I got me and everybody else, Mom, Pedro, Monty, Susan, went ahead and got us all. Monty was dead, but I got his kids here. I got $5,000 a year. And I was living on $2,400, Roxy was living on, that year. So essentially, I owed Pedro and Roxy in 1996. I still had a couple $1,000 left. Then the next year, that bitch Jenny died, and I got $10,000 instead of $5,000.
Yeah.
So, ever since I've got a guaranteed income here, I don't have to work here. Truck driving is hard work. It is hard work. Especially what you are, you're a minimum wage employee doing about 70 hours or more. Essentially, you're a minimum wage, but you're going ahead and working 70, 80 hours. About up to 1,000 miles away from home.
It used to be a lot better, and really, the union truck drivers make a lot more than non-union, and then owner-operators make even more than that.
Yeah, how the hell? These unions are sort of falling apart here. Last year, the bunch of Teamsters here who were guaranteed about $4,000 a year, they found themselves only getting about $1,000 a year, then $700 a year, then $400 a year. The professor told me they have to deal with it. They can't live on, $500 a month in, Pennsylvania and New Jersey and all that.
It's one thing. Look, if you've got a nice trucking gig and you're home every night and you just drive local runs, that's one thing. But if you're on the road and you're gone for a week at a time, then, hell, you ought to make a better living anyway. That's a hard-ass life.
It is a hard-ass life. That's why I'm glad I'm not doing it anymore.
If you're a single guy, it's fine, man, if you're young, but you get older.
It's hard work. It's hard work. It is hard work.
And it's very dangerous now because nobody respects trucks. And you got these cars and heavy traffic that weave in and out. And, it makes it very difficult.
Oh, you got these beaters who have to go ahead and deliver it. Go ahead and run at your truck and then blame you because you're the professional driver here.
They want to sue the trucking companies, what they want. They're looking for a paycheck.
Oh, yeah. No, they know damn well every truck has an insurance company.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't so bad. It was so bad because I used to haul just chicken. And you get to where, probably hauling the chicken, from Zero Mountain in, Siloam Springs or Springdale or Zero Mountain in Fort Smith, all the way to the boat. As long as you could go ahead and go down US 49 was about as easy a trip as anything here. Drive 700 miles and next day delivery. And then you wander back and, Pearl, Mississippi, where old Jim Giles and that old faggot here, Dickie Barrett, used to live. was the only damn...
Hey, didn't you say Dickie Barrett, he died. Was he murdered or...
He went ahead and ran out of skinheads to fuck. Like a little nigger lips flying around. He goes ahead and finds him a prison nigger faggot, and the prison nigger faggot goes ahead and, goes ahead and shanks his ass. He's a prison nigger faggot here, That's a nigger prison faggot's why they let everybody know what the hell they are and what they do.
Did Jim Giles know him? Did they know him?
Jim Giles, he went ahead and tormented Jim Giles with threatening to sue him if he called himself, that piece of shit. He was a Zogbot. He was just a real piece of shit here. I sort of like Jim Giles. If he hadn't been shitting all over Edgar Steele for no good reason, I would have just got along fine with Jim Giles, you know what I mean? But Jim Giles was somewhat of a tard, you know what I mean? Now he's
well,
going
Jim, to I mean,
become,
Jim Giles is like Kurt Wallace. I've seen a YouTube video of him
Jim Giles, instead of being a crew cat, Marine.
I saw that.
He's a long-haired hippie card, you know what I mean?
Jim Giles,
he's like old Brad Griffin. He just goes from one stream to the next freaking stream, you know what I mean? I don't really change much of anything here. It's gotten warm enough to run back to wearing shorts again, but I'm still wearing this flannel shirt here. But essentially, I'll just wear one or two pairs of clothing here. You know what I mean? And then I'll wear it till it wears out here. You know what I mean? And then I'll get me another one. You know what I mean? I don't change very much here. Anyway, it's after 9 o'clock. We've been yapping for nearly 2 hours. I'm gonna go ahead and call it a night here.
I gotta get up early tomorrow, so we'll call it a night. And I'll probably start the Logan Hunter show back in another week or so. But I'm taking a break from that, but I may call into your show next time you do a movement tour.
Thursday?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Well, I already created me another sock puppet account, but, this is still up. This thing's going to be, you had the packing problems already. They were in the show, and Morty, we're going to have you kicked out tomorrow. Okay. Bye. You do that.
If they had a real ministry of their own and they were doing Yahweh's work, they wouldn't have time to interfere with other people that is teaching the red letters and the truth. The only reason they're coming after us is they hate what we're teaching. They hate the red letters, and they themselves are not doing the work of Yahweh. I mean, obviously.
Well, they're playing AMC, they're playing the stupid shit with these chinks and skanks and whatever, doing that kung fu shit, They're playing that in the background. I've been paying attention to it for a while. See, I use my Toshiba number 4 as a sort of a VCR, and what I did was that Windows 7 computer, is that the reason I like Windows 7 is that it's able to read the recording. Don't have to go ahead and change it to MP4. So what happens is I have that essentially changing the last issue of The Walking Dead, and it's 93% done already here. But I haven't said a high thing. So essentially what happens is I downloaded Microsoft Movie Maker, and I have the laptop you gave me. Essentially, since it was Windows 7, essentially I have it in the background just simply, essentially doing Windows 7 stuff here, you know what I mean? I think I like Windows 7 quite a bit here. I don't really like Windows 10 that much here, you know what I mean?
I'd agree with that. Yeah, 7's, my computer tech told me that 7's the best, he puts that on all my computers, so that's what he uses.
The Windows 7 Pro? It's a $198 program, you know what I mean? You know,
$100 computer. So it's a $200 program on $100 computer here. So
yeah, anyway, well, yeah. I paid $100 for it. It might be worth $150. I don't know, because this guy's real honest and he's really reasonable on the price. I mean, I bought it from him, and he's from Michigan. He was a truck driver. He got the car a wreck, and he's now paralyzed in a wheelchair. But he's got a wife and grown kids. Just honest as heck. He's not in it for the money. He just enjoys rebuilding computers and helping people out. And, I mean, you know, I've kind of talked about
this one. This one, essentially, what happens is it's not doing it onto its own little small hard drive. It's essentially doing it. It's essentially going ahead and, you know, essentially doing it and then spitting it back onto the four terabyte, Seagate drive I have. You know what I mean? So that's the easiest way of doing it here. Anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night here. Do you think you'll be back by Thursday or what?
I'll probably call into your show Thursday, but I won't bring over her show back for a little while.
We'll just call this a pre-move occur here. How's that?
Sure.
The bowel movement. All it's did here is that they printed in the Washington Post that the bowel movement is pretty well fucked. And you're right, it is. But then again, I mean, they act like Zog has something to do with it. No, the answer is that, you know, most of these TARDs are just Zog bots or retards or idiots. You know what I mean? I mean, it's sort of like letting Russ Walker handle Chris Nadelby. I mean, what the hell do you think you'd have other than just simply, you know, just fucktardation? That's all you'd have.
That's right.
I mean, just idiot. You know, just idiot.
That's totally right.
But then,
that's totally right.
You'll go ahead and say, well, Russ Walker, he's running it here, and Lord, it looks like Russ by his reveal, he's 10% nigger, and he's screwing around on second wife, and, you know, his daughter is a lesbian, his son used to be a faggot, and then well, what happens is that, sort of like with Russ were here, he goes ahead, and I was looking at this shit last night, on where to put this here. I went ahead and put, you know, Russell Walker, I went ahead and put two different places. I put it where... What do you get when you have essentially idiots playing CI dentistry? Well, I go ahead and look, and I find out 2013, here's dumbass old Rustler saying that he lives amongst the Lumbee Melanges. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should be living amongst the Lumbees. You know what I mean? Maybe you is one. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That's right. So, anyway, I mean, and then he goes ahead and he lies, says that I lied when I said that he said, you know, hey, I got a screenshot, dumbass Rustler. You know, I got a screenshot of you talking to, this was 2013, it was in June or whatever, and, that Jew boy Eli was yapping about what happened 10,000 BC during Atlantis. Well, I think Atlantis was just a bunch of bullshit. You know, I mean, it's just some sort of story here, you know, you never heard of Atlantis before Plato goes ahead and talks to these Egyptians. You know what I mean? You know, trying to say, well, hey, there was Greeks before, you know, the Egyptians in 10,000 BC or whatever. Essentially, I think it's just shit that Plato made up. You know, he's a lying piece of shit anyway. You know, who like this lying faggot. I mean, I think far more of Aristotle than I do Plato or Socrates combined. You know what I mean? So, in any case, Aristotle actually was level-headed here. He just went ahead and said this, that, you know, pretty well, it's best to have moderation on things. A middle class, democratic, you know, middle class here is better. He went ahead and pointed out is that slaves want to become equal to their masters, and then they want to become their, you know, essentially they want to become the masters.
So, like
with niggers. So, I mean, Aristotle wasn't perfect, but essentially he was probably the smartest one or the most level-headed one of the philosophers. I think a lot of them were just full of shit, in any case. So, in any case, I'm just looking at that here. But, no, the bowel movement, hell, I mean, what do you expect here when you have, old Brad Griffin's been figuring out the wee Kikenheimer is, you know, he's a Jew... Engine, okay, so like Johnny Tonto from the Skokie, you know what I mean? essentially, his ancestors on his father's side were Indians from Muskogee. And essentially, on his mother's side were Jews. You know what I mean? So essentially, he's a Jew nigger. He's a Jew red nigger is what he is here. You know, Wayne Kuykenheimer. So I go ahead and look at the stuff, and old Wayne Kuykenheimer, he was bitching about his mother, about how his mother had snitched him out, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, essentially, she's a crazy bitch, too. She's a Kuyken. You know what I mean? What do you expect here when you... When you squeeze out a Jew pussy, you know, a Jewish pussy here, I mean, you gotta live with the fact that your mother is a kikus, you know what I mean?
That's right.
You know, essentially, you know, I mean, Jew boys here, they just have a lot of trouble with the Yentas here, you know what I mean? The Yentas just don't know how to behave, you know what I mean? So, pretty well, I don't feel too sorry for Russ because essentially Russ brought this stupid shit down on himself because, you know, he's a retard. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So, anyway, I got enough food and I got enough money to get by. And, I need to settle down and tomorrow I need to go ahead and essentially write, you know, me up two motions, one for a new trial and one for, motion for new trial and motion for, I got my $1,000 bond back. And what I do is I just go in and show up. You know, make the city of Granby pay $14 and some odd cents every time they have to be dispatched here. And just go ahead. Okay, you want to play games, we'll play games. You want to play that game, we'll go ahead and play that game. But that's what gets me is that, you know, I mean, if you're not going to go ahead and have freedom of speech, you're not going to go ahead and have freedom of religion, you're not going to have all this sort of stupid shit, then what the fuck are we bitching about what Vladimir Putin or Saddam Hussein or, you know, Deng Xiao fuck you up does or anything like that here? You know what I mean? Just enough of the hypocrisy. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call it tonight. Thanks for calling in and doing the pre-movement tour or the...
Yeah.
Semi Logan Hunter show in exile, and it wasn't all just about dumbass wrestler here. You know what I mean?
There you go.
In short, you knew about him for about 2 months here.
That's right.
Because these other cards said that. You told me, I think, about 3 weeks ago.
That's right.
Maybe it's, you know, maybe a little bit, you know, sometime between 3 weeks and a month here. And,
yeah.
You know, I didn't bring it up. You decided to bring it up. When was it? You decided to bring it up Thursday. You know, so it got brought up, and, you know, hey, Russell, I mean, you know that shit could have been kept in the bag, but you had to run your stupid mouth here, you know what I mean? So it's really your fault, you know what I mean? That, maybe just Russell can't help himself. Maybe he's just a tard because he's a tard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory, may Yahweh bless, and good night.
All right, I'll see y'all Thursday. Bye.